victory in Christ. Victory over sin is granted by the grace of the Savior to all in whose hearts he is living by faith. What is justification by faith? Part number one. Justification by faith is the judicial act of God by which the sinner is declared righteous. This fiat grants pardon for all past sins, contingent on the penitent's repentance, confession, and acceptance of God's forgiveness. These points are very important. Pardon for all past sins is contingent upon repentance, confession, and acceptance of God's forgiveness. Love paid the penalty for the helpless and lost world, and grace paved the road to salvation. Love is the principle, the divine principle, that makes ideal relationships. Grace is the divine power that makes the weak adequate to fulfill the divine ideal. The Spirit induces repentance in the sinner and begins the process of restoration. John 16:8-11. The effect of God's pardon is the new birth in the penitent who exercises faith, John 6:29, or believes that he has been forgiven and is accepted by heaven. This act of faith or belief is the only works a sinner can perform to gain the assurance of justification. God imputes the righteousness of Christ to the penitent and regards him as if he had never sinned. By the Spirit's creative power, a new mind, new thoughts are given to the believer, and he is free to live for God. This arrangement is called the New Covenant. This work of grace in man's sanctification that follows his justification lasts throughout his life. Grace enables the baby disciple to grow into the fullness of Christ's life through his moment-by-moment choice, faith, or belief. Jesus revealed the twofold ministry of the Spirit, John 16:8, first to convict the sinner of his sinful condition, thus bring about justification, and then to convince the born-again convert to look to the righteousness of Christ as the goal of his life. Justification is the beginning of the Christian life. Sanctification is the day-by-day living of it. Both are dependent on grace. Justification is our title to heaven. Sanctification is our fitness for heaven. Part number two. Does faith promote sin? Paul asked the Galatians whether the sinner's quest for sanctification made Christ an accessory or a minister of sin. The answer is an emphatic no. Christ does not condone the disciple's sin. By dying in his place, he has acknowledged that he is already doomed. John 3:18. The Savior then gives the penitent a second chance to seek for justification and sanctification, and then provides infinite grace and the gift of faith to enable him to achieve this. Once he has been justified by grace through faith, and not through the observing of the law or any Jewish traditions or taboos, the disciple must not revert to doing the things he has given up. The old man or previous lifestyle has been renounced in repentance and confession, and been forsaken and forgiven. The mandate from Christ is forgetting the things that are behind. Forget the past, march forward to the uplifting calling of God in Christ Jesus. Part number three, crucified with Christ. Paul now summarizes what he has been trying to say. The only sensible thing is to accept the cross with all its implications and say, I am crucified with Christ. I am dead. I am executed. My old man is perished. I identify with Calvary, where my debt was paid. Because my old manner of life perished on the cross and I am dead, I am ready to begin a new life in Christ. Yet it is not really I who am now living. For in this new life I have started, I constantly, moment by moment, choose to live through faith in Christ. This is made possible through the indwelling Spirit. My part is not to frustrate or negate His ministry by my indifference or rejection. This grace will enable me to function in every area of my life in a manner pleasing to God, provided I do not interpose a perverse will. These verses in Galatians 2:20 and 21 are extremely important as they explain the Christian life. Paul continues in effect, two options are open to me. If I seek for righteousness by keeping any kind of law, moral or ceremonial or civil or national or whatever, then Christ need not have died. I could have saved myself. But Christ's death demonstrates that no soul can keep the law in his own strength. The only sensible thing to do, then, is to accept his gift of righteousness. As we think of these verses, let us bear in mind that justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ produces in the penitent a new birth, gives him a second chance to live out the life of Christ day by day. This justification is the beginning of the Christian life, while sanctification is its continual development until death, or the return of Jesus. The one, justification, is a work of a moment. It happens the moment the penitent accepts Jesus as Savior and Lord. It is our title to heaven. The work of sanctification never ceases. It is the work of a lifetime. And it is our fitness for heaven, living in God's presence, that it produces. Now, as we think of this lesson this week, it is an extremely important practical lesson. Victory over sin can come only through grace. It can come only through the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes by His gift of the Spirit within human personality. The Spirit brings about in the Christian's mind a perception of all that Christ has done for him. It calls the attention of the penitent to his own hopelessness and turns his eyes on Jesus. When he senses the wonders that have been accomplished for him, then he yields joyously, gratefully, at the foot of the cross. The peace of forgiveness comes to his life. The gift of faith that the Spirit gives to him now enables him in his fumbling way to stretch up his hand and take hold of the hand of Christ. Grace, the second chance, the payment of debt, faith are all gifts that Jesus Christ gives to us. When we enter that state, one moment we're lost, the the next moment we're within the orbit of His salvation. Our feet are now set on the way to heaven. Our minds are turned to Him. This is just a work of a moment. As soon as we say, Lord, I accept, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. As soon as we say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. At that moment, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit put into our lives and around our lives and the foundation of our lives and the upward pull of our lives every ingredient in the plan of salvation. Our part is to say, I accept. And then to look to Jesus, what we are going to do the next moment. And the voice of the Spirit in the heart will say, this is the way, walk in it. Do this. Don't do that. This is righteousness, this is sin. Keep from doing this, go ahead and do that. Then at each of those moments of Spirit nudging, we must put our wills on that side and choose. Start doing it. However unpleasant it may seem, however uncertain, however impossible, we must say, I'm going to do it. Not in my own strength, but by the grace of God. And that's what Paul means when he says, I'm alive and I'm living. Nevertheless, it's not I that am living, but it's Christ that's living in my heart, in my mind, within my personality, within my consciousness. These ideas suddenly spring up. Don't do that. Do this. And the closer we maintain our relationship to Christ through the Spirit, the more we pray, the more we ask for illumination, the more we want this guidance, the more it will come into our lives. And the Christian life will then be a climbing up Jacob's ladder toward the kingdom of God. We haven't got to worry about tomorrow. We haven't got to worry about next week. All we've got to worry about is what we're going to do now. We get up from our knees in the morning. What are we going to do now? And as we set about our daily tasks and carry out our responsibilities and journey to the workplace, there we must allow the Spirit to live out Christ's life within us. When He nudges us to do the job better, to be more efficient, to be more careful, when the thought springs up in our minds that we should control our words, our conversation, our manner of life, then we are to say, Lord, take over. Live out thy life within me. Nevertheless, I live, Paul says. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. And this will continue if I do not frustrate the grace of God. Frustrate is to negative, to get in the way of, to stop following. The Spirit is ready to do it, though. The grace of God is ready to do it. Power of heaven is on our side. And we can frustrate it by interposing the wrong kind of will. So as we think of this very important lesson, victory in Christ, we should realize that it's only through Christ, it's only by Christ, that these victories will be gained.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.